are you liking your Hackintosh? You've had it for what, 2 years now?
So coming up to March will be 3 years for this, for
wow,
this one.
3 years. And this is your main machine.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it like? Are you having issues?
None.
Does it stop working? Can you use the third part or the built-in Apple services and all that stuff? Like, how's all that
everything,
working?
Everything works.
You have no problems at all?
Everything works. So I've got Wi-Fi. I mean, I've got handoff. I've got, I come downstairs. My Apple Watch automatically unlocks the computer.
So, wow, every little thing.
Everything works. So, I mean, again, it's been a learning process. The biggest problem over the years was just being certain that I had the full performance of all the USB ports. Mm-hmm. And it's only been fairly recently that I learned about manually setting USB port assignments. And it's kind of complicated, but fun. It was really, really neat to do. And I did it the most complicated way. Now, apparently there's a slightly easier way, but I just haven't had time to dive into it. So, now with every single iMac I have in the house, I've manually assigned the USB port assignments and then learned about IO Reg software. It's fun. I mean, that was just and that points to the fact that I've always told people that if you're, if you want to be a Hackintosh owner, user, builder, it's not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's not that hard, but on the other hand, there are people who have no idea how to run or manage just a regular Mac. I get phone calls from friends all the time where they suddenly have some kind of browser malware and have no idea how to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are like that who go, wow, I want to get a cheaper Mac. Well, no, I don't really recommend that.
So you're saying there is some amount of finessing that
yes.
goes into maintaining the computer. It's not just as the great Ron Popeil would say, set it and forget it.
No, absolutely not. So for me, when Apple announces a software update, let's say a point update, I don't just hit the button and say update. I have to go and update all my what are called kext files. Mm-hmm. And then I also need to check whether my bootloader is at the same level that the point release will work with. I've set up my Mac in more of a vanilla way, which mitigates two things that usually get broken with every upgrade, and that is USB port assignments and audio. So by doing it in a vanilla way, those things don't break. So all I do is update my kext files, my kernel extensions. Dead easy to do. Mm-hmm. But if what I'm saying is now intimidating anybody out there that's listening to this, then don't buy a Hackintosh. I mean, don't build one. So if they listen for these clues. So, okay, I'm going to say some more technical stuff here. So I use Clover configurator. I launch the EFI partition. Then I go to my other folder within the EFI partition and I update my kext files. And then I update my Mac and everything works fine. So if anything I've said sounds intimidating or like gobbledygook, then don't build a Hackintosh.
I have no idea what you just said. I'm just joking. So when an update comes out, how long is it before you're up and running with that new update?
It depends on timing. Like if I'm in the middle of work and doing tons of stuff, then I just wait. I mean, if everything's stable, then I'm not going to run after that update.
Well, let me rephrase it this way. If the update came out and you had a week off or you had a month off just to focus on the computer, how long would it be before you could get your computer working with the newest OS?
Well, are you talking about you're talking about a full OS update or you're talking about an incremental update within an OS?
Let's talk about an incremental update and then maybe also an OS update. Like, I guess what I'm trying to get a feel for is as far as the community is concerned, because I know there's people working on all different aspects of the Hackintosh, how long is it before the community has updated all the appropriate files and tools so that you can go ahead and upgrade your machine to an update or a full OS update?
That's different for each update.
Okay.
Apple, to my knowledge, has not purposely gone out of their way to change their OS that makes Hackintoshing more difficult. They do some changes to their OS, that make it more secure, for instance, because that's really what they're interested in doing. And the update to Mojave was very interesting because it's the first time I've ever updated my Hackintosh to the 0.0 version mm-hmm. of a completely new OS, and it's perhaps the easiest update I've ever done. And all the Mojave updates have been super easy, like I don't know, seamless. It's been very, very, very good, and it's a very stable OS in the Hackintosh realm, with one proviso, and that is don't have a NVIDIA graphics card. You need to be running an AMD graphics card.
Why would anybody put an NVIDIA graphics card in their Hackintosh is beyond me.
Well, okay, we'll get back to that. So let me finish the first topic.
Sorry, go ahead.
So first of all, the regime is I back up my OS. I have my OS and my applications are on an SSD. I don't put any files on it. It makes it dead simple to back it up to my hard drive cradle, and then I update the kext files, update Clover Bootloader, read any kind of things on the forums that say, oh, this is going to break or whatever. And if, you know, for the most part, it looks like it's working, then I go ahead. Either for both the full OS update or for incremental updates. And if something goes wrong, I just go back to previous OS. I mean, you're just stupid to not do the backup before making any kind of...
Of course, yeah.
And other than that, I mean, it's now pretty straightforward. And not just that, but the programming community have really upped their game. So now we've got UEFI, which has made things way easier, and also the people or the person who created the Lilu kext extension and also whatever green. And so there are fewer and fewer kexts that you have to put in and maintain because there's the Swiss Army knife of kexts that you put in. And if you just put these base kexts in, then it's just working really well.
And you're talking about configuration files right now, right? To make the OS actually load and work.
Yeah. And it's far fewer than long time ago. There used to be just a ton of kext files you had to maintain. And there's also a tool that I can't remember off the top of my head that will monitor your computer and will automatically download kext files that have updated for you.
Oh, great.
That's insane. Like it's really gotten better, and Mojave is just brilliant. So that, I still have my Macs. I still have lots of real live Macs. And that's the other thing is that if you don't have a legitimate Mac in your vicinity, then I don't suggest Hackintoshing at all, because there are points where there might be some major triage. And, we can get into the legality of downloading the OS, but I mean...
I'm not even going to worry about that. No one cares.
No one cares.
But anyone who downloads it isn't going to sweat over the fact that they are downloading it.
No, that's true. But at least I can download it legally. It's given me... And plus the fact that I've spent like $100,000 on Mac gear in the past, I feel,
I'm not quite that high, but I'm definitely in the 20K range.
Yeah, so fuck you, Apple.
Exactly. I've owned like 5 or 6 or 7 Macs in the last 10 years, and I've given them. My last Mac was a $4,000 machine. I mean, $4,000 for a computer. I've never spent so much.
I've bought many $4,000. My Quadra 700 was $5,000.
Oh my gosh.
Get this, with 24 meg of RAM.
Ooh, baby.
With 20 megahertz processor.
That's just frivolous. Who would need that much
I know,
power?
It's insane. I went nuts. My black and white monitor was $6,000.
Oh my gosh. That is unreal. In college, my car that I drove was $700.
There you go.
I called it the Silver Bullet. It was an old, I don't even remember what kind of car it was, a Buick maybe? And it was a car made for grandpa. It was grandpa's dream. It had these plush burgundy seats.
Oh.
And it had like the vinyl top on the back, just as a an accessory to make the car look more classy.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Well, it had been around so long that the sun had actually baked that top off.
Oh, I've seen that.
The crows started using the material to make their nests. So I'd come out in the morning and the crows would be picking the fibers off my vinyl top, and it had like this cotton layer underneath. So my top had all these wisps coming out of it. It looked like, have you ever seen the movie Kingpin with Bill Murray?
No.
Oh, well, never mind. There's an example at the end where he's winning this bowling tournament and his comb over is coming undone. It's just wisping around in the air as he's bowling. And it looked exactly like that car. That car was only $700, one-fourth the price of my current Mac.
But, yeah, and the Mac can't drive you from or pick up chicks. So
not yet. If you take it with you, though, to the Starbucks,
right. Oh, yeah.
It definitely may help.
Is that a 128K original? That's right. And why are you in that cosplay outfit? Yeah, it's another world. So there you go. Yeah, I'm that's the process, and it seems to be getting easier. And then we are getting into NVIDIA. And at one point, NVIDIA cards were the only way to go with Hackintoshing up until 10.13.4.
Wow, you remember that. Good for you.
And then AMD started really kicking ass.
Well, I don't know if they're kicking ass, but for whatever reason, Apple has decided to start using their hardware, which I would prefer if they were using NVIDIA, because NVIDIA G-Sync monitors, I feel like, are so much better for gaming. And I also like the power of NVIDIA graphics cards.
Oh,
I feel
for
like
sure.
They're always ahead of the game, you know?
Hey, listen, but, there's a million things that we can get into in terms of they hate each other. They had a falling out several years ago with the 2008 MacBook.
You mean NVIDIA and Apple hate each other?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Because NVIDIA fucked Apple over with one of its graphics cards and refused to take responsibility for RMAing it, and Apple just was not happy, and and Apple said, we're not putting another graphics card into anything of yours.
I wonder if they ever will in the future. Maybe. Well, Tim Cook probably holds an epic grudge. Tim Cook does.
Well, I mean, I think he's holding Steve's grudge.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know what? The other thing too is Apple and Metal are a full OpenCL kind of framework, and it just works better on async computing than it does on NVIDIA's even high powered stuff. I mean, if you stick with Apple software and you're editing with Final Cut Pro, a lousy little RX 580, which I have, is faster than using an NVIDIA 1080.
Well, see, now that there is my issue with people who put NVIDIA cards in their Hackintosh. I mean, one of the reasons you're building a Hackintosh, at least in my mind, is because you're going to be using it for video editing. I mean, a lot of people who build a Hackintosh, they want a really powerful machine, but they don't want to spend $5,000 to $10,000 on an iMac Pro. So you build a Hackintosh, and then you cram in this NVIDIA card, which doesn't support hardware acceleration in Final Cut Pro 10. So you've just negated the prime benefit of building a Hackintosh.
Except the Adobe Suite, if that's what you're relying on, is more optimized for CUDA.
Oh, I see. So if you're going to be using Premiere and...
Yes.
Okay.
It's nice to have the choice. And I mean, Apple, it's one of the frustrations with Apple is that they purposely take choice away all over the place. They don't let you use a mouse with the iPad. Like, why? Why the fuck not? Why can't I work with a mouse on my iPad?
Right.
I get it. I get that Steve wanted to force touch-centric software into the minds of the lazy software community. I get it. But they've got it. They figured it out. They're making great touch manageable software. But sometimes I prefer my mouse. Why not? And Apple doesn't let you do that. They've got a file system in iOS that isn't really a file system. You can't really attach a USB-C drive and see its structure. I mean, it's unbelievably frustrating. So, I mean, in the case here, Apple has forced people's hands and said, if you want to have an optimal experience on Mac OS, then you got to run Metal. And it works. It works really well. Metal is brilliant. And I think someone said that Adobe has even started to bring their stuff closer to some kind of Metal happiness.
You know, the irony is with the iPad, in regards to the iPad, they're pushing this thing as a computer replacement, which I still think is laughable. I know there are people out there that disagree with me. I always have to caveat that because I'll hear from those people after we release this. But it's certainly not a replacement for me. And they're pushing this whole touch-based OS with the smart keyboard. But Steve Jobs, when he was asked about creating a touchscreen computer, said, well, no one wants to hold their arm out and be touching the screen of their Mac. Your arm gets tired. It's not a good computing experience. Well, here we are with the iPad, and that's exactly the experience that they are providing to people. I think this is just me wishing and hoping the universe grabs onto this, but I think that eventually Apple is going to hybridize the iOS, or is going to hybridize iOS and create a version that is part Mac, part iPad, because the iPad will truly never be a notebook replacement until you can access the file system, until you have mouse support and can run some apps that run on the Mac. I don't think, because you just can't create. The iPad is not a good creation tool, in my opinion. The Mac is. It's total freedom. You can do whatever you want. And the iPad, it's a great media consumption device, but until they allow some type of Mac OS system on the iPad, it's just not going to be good for creation.
I agree. I mean, unless you're a pen artist where you can do brilliant stuff on the iPad.
Yeah.
Some people have attempted to edit videos on the iPad, and I guess it kind of works. I think part of the Mac issue also goes back to they drank their own Kool-Aid with regards to the end of desktop computing. I mean, they made some kind of announcement that the future is pad computing, and kind of people went, oh yeah, no, I can make sense. That makes sense. Minority Report future and clear iPads and computers are going to be dead. But and I think that's one of the they had this moment where they couldn't really decide whether the iPad was going to be what they're going to push as the future of content creation and desktop
Lord,
publishing.
Oh, no, I hope not.
No, I'm absolutely certain that was one of their hesitancies with regards to refreshing the Mac Mini and Mac Pro. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely certain. And then we've got the issue where are they going to move to ARM architecture for everything because they want to get away from Intel?
Yeah.
I mean, it's we have no idea where that is going. And as far as the Hackintosh community is concerned, then I don't think they're, you know, no one should be concerned about anything for the next 5 years because Apple has to support computers for a good a long time. But on the other hand, they're actually making it easier to Hackintosh, and maybe that's why they're not bothering creating the nice simple box, because other people are making them on the side. I don't know. I tell people, hey, Apple, it's the OS, stupid. Just make a box. Like, how difficult is it to make a box with a fan in it and hard drives and power supply and that doesn't thermal throttle and you know, charge a reasonable amount of money and then just let us have it? Why does everything have to be brilliant, quote
so
unquote?
So damn complicated. Yeah, exactly.
Like why?
Now, by box, do you mean something that we could tinker with, something like a desktop PC?
Yeah, like my box. My box here.
I don't know. I really don't. That's the dream. That's what I want. I just want a nice looking tower that I can almost like the Power Max. Were they called Power Max with those beautiful aluminum chassis? And you could take the side door off. You could switch out the graphics cards, put in more memory. That's really what I want. Just go back to that.
I had the very first Intel one. And that was great for 10 years and a huge frickin' heavy machine. But even then, I wanted more than four hard drives internally. My box here can have eight. So even that kind of ran its course. I have been pitching Apple incessantly to just give us an ATX motherboard with the OS pre-installed on an NVMe 2.
You're speaking my language.
And just let us buy the graphics card, like make it, you know, let's say a 370 or 390 motherboard where we can get two generations of Intel chips into that thing, an 8700K or a 9900K, whatever our choice is, and we can put our own power supply or our own graphics card, whatever it is that we want, and put it in the case that we want, you know, sell it to us at some ridiculous premium. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't include the CPU, but I'll buy it for $600. I'd be happy to. And then I'll make my own computer. I don't understand why they just don't want to make it easy on people who love the OS to make to get a Macintosh that works for them.
I think it all comes down to money. They don't want to sell you something that is inexpensive, which is why you look at the Mac Mini. It's a great computer, except they have neutered it graphically. They put the absolute worst GPU you could possibly stuff
or IGPU
into that thing.
Yeah, they put worst IGPU into. I don't understand why they didn't just put the 630 back into
because they don't want you to consider the Mac Mini. If you want power, they want you to move up to something more expensive.
Or get an IGPU or get an eGPU.
Yeah, but the thing with eGPUs is they're not as fast as internal cards, and you have to pay for an external housing. So it's a extra layer of complexity and expense, and they know that a lot of people just aren't going to mess with that. They're going to want to just spend more money and get the iMac Pro or, you know, what have you. So they intentionally neuter their stuff so that they can push you into the higher price point. When that's one of the things that really annoys me.
Yep. And you know, the basic technology in there, I mean, it's got four USB-C Thunderbolt ports. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's really quite a super mini in many ways. You can put a 10 gigabit Ethernet in it. I mean, you can gang them up together to make a very powerful server. I mean, it's just there's some amazing technology that they've added there. But you know, one of the reasons I promoted the idea of the motherboard, just the motherboard, is that one of the things that the Hackintoshing thing has done, not that I've ever been, you know, very separated from my son, who's a wonderful, wonderful kid. But, you know, he's a PC guy and a IT LAN guy. And yeah, we joke with each other being on opposite sides of the fence. But the day that we decided to I would build a Hackintosh is that he's a really good PC builder. So, as far as he's concerned, Dad, get out of the way. I'm doing this.
Move out
of the way. I'm not letting you do this. I'm going to do the cable routing because he's really unbelievably OCD about it. And it's got to be done right. And he went out and he specced it. And we just had a phenomenal time together building it. And I go also back to the Heathkit days, which you're way too young to remember. You'll have to dig up Heathkit. But I used to build stereos and radios with my dad. My dad taught me how to solder. And I taught my son how to solder. And there's just so many things that we're making that prevent us from doing things together. Yeah, you could say you could be content creating together, but I mean, not every kid wants to be a YouTuber or shoot things or vlog or blog or whatever. And my son was a hardware guy, and we just had so much fun building this thing. And then we just started building other ones, you know, around the house for our own purposes and for my father-in-law, stuff like that. And we don't sell them. It's just a little hobby. But we've had just a terrific connection since that first Hackintosh. And I had to relearn PC shit. I mean, you know, I thought, okay, I don't want to know about I come from the days of IDE hard drives and jumpers and Windows 3.0 and DOS and stuff like that. And I never wanted to really get back into that, but I mean, kind of forced me. And so now every once in a while, we have this huge discussion on EVGA cards or you know, power supplies and with the latest motherboard and you know, and now it's meaningful because he's talking about it from a PC perspective and I'm talking about it from a Hackintosh perspective.
So it didn't just improve your Mac, it improved your relationship with your son.
Yep, and I would go to Canada Computers and I would literally see mostly, I don't want to get into the intersectionalists out there, mostly seeing dads talking with their young kids about the computer they were going to build. So they weren't, you know, Canada Computers is like Fry's, I guess, so in the United States. And so they weren't going to buy a pre-built. They were choosing components together. Oh, I'll get that, you know, 1070 or 1050 Ti or whatever, and we'll match it to this board. We'll get this CPU. And I went, wow, that was fantastic. That's just wonderful. Because I'm not one of these batting coach dads. You know, kid, you're not squatting properly enough. Like, lift that front leg before you swing the bat, for God's sakes, or I'm going to have to beat you.
That's like you've heard my conversations with my kids.
Are you a baseball dad?
With my daughters.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. They don't play baseball yet. They're too young, but when they're old enough, I'm going to speak to them just like that.
That's right. That's what you need to do. Where's that triple sow cow, for fuck's sake? Do I have to take dinner away from you? Put that pick on the ice. God damn it. So I see a whole community of people who are enjoying a different life that Apple does not allow at all. Hell, when my dad brought the Apple II smuggled into Canada, strapped to the bottom of his van back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. On the underside of the carriage?
Wow, they were like ridiculously expensive. And so dad just like actually welded. He welded a metal plate on the bottom of his...
He literally had it welded to the bottom of his van?
Yeah, so he could bring it across.
So he could afford the customs?
Yeah, back into Canada. And, you know, that was a complicated little box. And my dad and I spent time figuring it out.
Let me ask you this. I neglected to mention this earlier, and this is probably going to be our last topic here.
Because we've been talking a long time.
Yeah, which has been great. I lost track of time, but performance-wise. So we talked about how it is living with a Hackintosh, but we didn't really talk about the benefits of Hackintosh and the power, the speed, the benefits over buying an iMac. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, I think it goes back to something I did bring up in that a Hackintosh allows you at the very least to run your components at the promised performance level.
Which makes a huge difference. I don't think people understand how big of a difference that can make.
I agree.
Especially if you're not even able to run your i9 processor at clock speed, Paul.
That's correct. I cannot
believe that Apple lets that go. It just is baffling to me that they are willing to sell you a chip for $300 that they basically put a governor on and you can't even run at its full potential. It blows my mind. But beyond that, beyond the just cooling potential, I mean, you also get a whole marketplace full of accessories. Like, you could go out right now and get the AMD Radeon 64 graphics card, put that into your iMac or into your Hackintosh, I should say, and now you have a state-of-the-art GPU that is going to bolster your speeds in Final Cut Pro. It's going to make your machine faster than any Mac on the market. Even the iMac Pro doesn't have support or doesn't come with the... actually, do they sell it with the Radeon 64? They might. But I think the base one comes with the Radeon 56.
Yeah, they have the 64.
So it's compatible. Okay, so but you can go out and just spend... I've seen the 64 on sale for as low as $360. And I think Apple sells it for like $700.
Well, you have to be careful on the Hackintosh front. So this is one of the downsides of Hackintosh is that you just can't get any Vega card. Mm-hmm. You have to be specific. So for instance, is it the XFX card is compatible, but the Asus is not? And then sometimes you have to get this Chinese fan curve software that allows you to manage the fans so it's not running at full speed all the time. So Apple does not have the same support for the same Vega card, whatever their setup is on the iMac Pro. It's not quite the same, but people have now solved it. But let's say, you know, to be certain that you've got a Vega 64 running properly, you have to get the, I think, the Sapphire Nitro Vega 64, and that is the most compatible. So you have to do your research. You can't just buy any component, but there you go. So that's a perfect example where I've got an RX 580 that I'm very happy with, but later on down the road, if I want to improve the performance of my machine, I can easily sub it out for a better card. And that's a very good example. And then software that really does use the card extensively, I get a boost in my computer, which you can't do on any existing Mac. You're absolutely stuck with whatever it is that they've given.
How much would you say you spent on your Hackintosh for the entire thing?
Well, I did the calculation in US dollars. So the it was about $1,400 in US dollars.
Now, does that include the screen, though?
No. So I bought a top-of-the-line Dell 1440p monitor for like $200. That's color accurate.
See, that's the thing. They, people say, yeah, but you miss out on the IMAX 5K display. And I say, yeah, but I don't really think I need to have a 5K display.
Well,
I would
not,
be
not
happy
just,
with
yeah, not
you know,
just
a regular display.
And not just that. I want to work with two displays. And even though the iMac has, you can add another display to the iMac. I'm a tech guy. I've got monitors coming out of every crevice of my house. And I didn't, and Apple, up until the most recent Mac Mini, which is still debatable, did not make a computer, a headless iMac that was useful for me. Mm-hmm. So that was a real piss off. I just needed the 7700K iMac without a monitor. That's what I needed. They didn't make it. And so that's what I made. And I think the tricked out, even if you go online, we could do it right now. Go online and go out. I'm going to do it right this moment here. I'm going to go to apple.com. Apple.com. So I spent $1,400. So let's say $1,800 US, a complete tricked out, water cooled,
overclocked.
Yes, overclocked.
Absolute beast of a computer.
Yeah. It was the iMac that Apple could never make. So if I go to iMac, not iMac Pro,
and I think it's probably $3,300.
Probably. So I'm going to go to buy, and now I'm going to, and then they never changed their 27 inch. I have to go to the 10. Yeah, you didn't include a 5K. Yeah, go to hell. But okay, my startup drive is a 1 terabyte SSD, so I'll include that. Magic Mouse, blah blah blah. So that is $3,300. $3,300 versus like $1,800.
Yeah.
No, but it includes the monitor. So if $1,800 includes my monitor.
But you're getting better performance on your machine. And if I had to guess, I would probably say it's 15 to 20% faster than a regular iMac.
It's my Geekbench is about, the Geekbench on this iMac, I remember, is about 19,000 and mine is 23,000.
Okay. So about 20%.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
and for $2,000 less.
And here's another brilliant thing. I've had many iMacs where the power supply is gone and then you have to send it in. It's about a week, 2 weeks or whatever. My power supply actually went on this computer. I walked over to Canada Computers, bought another one, brought it back, stuck it in. I was back up and running.
And like you said, you're not having any issues. You're just you're using it to edit videos, I assume, and do your daily computing, and you're creating content, which is what I do too. And that's always the angle at which I try to look at this, because that pushes the computer, and that stress is what's going to make it break oftentimes. But you aren't having any problems.
No, but I'm being very circumspect, and I'm well enough versed in technology that I'm confident that I can make this work. I mean, like I said, it's not for the faint of heart. You just don't get it and think that it's going to operate the same way as a Mac. And if you are technically inclined, then I'd say, yeah, sure. I think
you
it's
don't
a
mind
fun.
Having a little thermal paste on your hands.
No. I will delid. I can delid a CPU without.
If you like the delid, if the sound of delidding gets you a little turned on, then this just might be for you. Am I right?
Yes, I. And let's go.
Well, that's it. That's all I have. This has been an illuminating conversation. I guess for me, I just have to figure out, do I want to take the risk? Because it sounds like the reason this has worked so well for you is because you went through the process. You learned how this machine behaves, and you have a breadth of knowledge that you have earned that has allowed you to keep your machine running in tippy top shape. And I guess for me is the question for me is it worth going through all that effort just to save some money and have the ability to upgrade your components? I'm not sure yet. That's the part I have to do some research on.
And some people want the warranty, and that's how Apple protects themselves against Hackintoshers, is because for the vast majority of Apple users, it's really scary. And so I'm happy that Apple has, left us alone. But I talk with a lot of Mac people who go, wow, there's no way.
But what's the future, I should say, of Hackintosh once Apple goes ARM? I think that's it. What are you going to do, right? Well,
but there's going to be such a legacy of stuff that they've got to maintain for at least another decade. But then I don't know. I will worry about it.
That might be the death clang, though, when they say, we're moving to ARM, y'all. Tim's on stage, and everyone cheers.
Yep.
And you no longer have the ability to put the CPU that Apple supports.
Well, and then
that's going to be a strange day, though. It's going to be a strange day.
Then
when
we move
to
Windows. Big deal.
You just gave me intense gas. Just what that was.
Well, it is what it is when it is. Like, I can't go. That far. I'm viewing it as I didn't get into this to save money. I got into this because Apple was not creating the computer that I needed at the time at a reasonable value proposition. But now I'm kind of in the middle of it until such time as they choose to make it very difficult to manage.
That's what happened to me. I was looking around at my options and I said, I want something that has the most current components, that has the most current GPU. And the only thing that was there was the Mac or the iMac Pro. And I was looking at that price tag, thinking to myself, I'm not spending $7,000 on a machine with current components because it's giving me a bunch of stuff that I don't want and I don't need. I just want a headless horseman. But the Mac Mini wasn't as powerful as I wanted. And that's what got me seriously considering the Hackintosh.
Well, if you want something insane, you can get a 370 board or 390 board. It's a bit more difficult to Hackintosh, a little bit. But if you can put a 8700K into your computer, what is it, eight
I
cores?
I think that's six cores, 12 threads. That's Coffee Lake, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, 6 cores, 12 threads. Holy smokes, people have got that running right up into the mid-range of the iMac Pro.
With QuickSync support, by the way, because the
I've got Mac QuickSync support.
Right, so we should say, for people that don't know what that is, QuickSync support allows hardware encoding for when you're working with video in N. or
H.264, yeah.
Thank you, which makes exporting video super fast, and the iMac Pro doesn't have QuickSync support. So that's another benefit of the iMac, and yet another reason why it makes no sense to buy an iMac Pro base model, because it's just not it's not even as fast as the iMac in many video tests that I've seen. So
And Apple not reducing the prices of computers as their components are decreasing, and that's an issue. I mean, they're still selling the same Trashintosh for basically the same price. They moved them around a little bit, but
it's absurd.
Since 2013, that computer came out, and it's still the same pricing. But that being said, we also are dealing in the laws of diminishing return. Whereas, that iMac, the 7700K iMac, that is going to last just a regular average content creator I don't know, 10 years? Like, we just, there is,
it's, wow, that's a little bit longer than I would think,
no,
but.
No, I'm now up to year three and, or year two of this one, and, but we're getting less and less bang for our buck. And then obviously if Apple had embraced AMD and 24 threads. And I mean, that would be fun. But on the other hand, most of us don't really need that kind of power. The chip wars are over. There's going to be refinements and things like that. I mean, people on a dual core computer can still surf the internet and write stuff and view video. I mean, those are old chips, old technology. A two core, four thread chip will still do you. If that's all you're doing, if all you're doing is writing stuff and even making music, you don't need a powerful chip for making music. You just need lots of RAM. And those computers will still run. So I think, you know, Apple understands that they don't really need to update.
Well, I think there's a need perceptually to update.
That's a different point. Now you're competing with the HPs and all that. So,
I mean, there's no need to come out with new cars every year, but Honda still does it because Toyota's doing it. They got to compete in the marketplace.
But so. Apple doesn't. No one sees them as competing. So those of you who are just wanting to dip their toe into Hackintoshing and you have a Mac, I'd suggest you go out and get one of those used HP 6300 mini towers, the 3770s.
Huh.
The chip with the i7-3770, and they're, I don't know, you can pick it up for like $250. And
build a Hackintosh out of that?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Is it just like all the components are easily supported by the Hackintosh community, so you can just load it on there and be good?
Yep, it's pretty good. Wow. Yeah, it's not that hard.
That's a good way to start.
Get a used HP 6300 tower with the i7-3770. Chip.
i7-3770. I'm writing that down. I'll put that in the show notes so that people can.
I don't know what the price is in the United States, but I mean, there's just millions of them out there on eBay.
Yeah, well, if it's a PC that's more than a year old, it's going to be worth absolutely nothing.
No, it's really, they're ancient, but they're wonderful, Hackintoshable, and shockingly fast. And you can put it's got a PCI slot, but you can't add power to it. So if you have a graphics card that can run from the power off the PCI slot, like RX 460.
It's not a bad way to build a little media PC either.
No, it would be awesome.
Yeah, you'd probably be really happy with that.
Oh, you'd be very happy with that.
All right,
there
Paul,
you go.
I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Well, I have to make dinner.
Your ear off. You got to go make dinner, I understand. What are you making? What are you
making
dinner
tonight? Chicken, roast chicken.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. I want to thank you for coming on. It's been great talking with you. And if people wanted to hear more of your content, where can they find you?
Well, they can just go to YouTube and search for Peter Paul Chatto.
Okay. And you're on Twitter too, right? Yeah?
Vaguely. And there.
You're just there lurking in the shadows?
Yeah, I'm lurking.
Okay.
Lurking. There's just nothing but unhappy news there. I don't want to read it.
I know.
Just unhappy.
I'm not sure if Twitter has made the world better or worse. I really am not sure.
Worse.
Yeah, I think sometimes I lean towards that end of the spectrum. Well, people can check you out on YouTube, of course. You got a lot of really fun videos there and a lot of great content on Hackintosh. You're one of the main guys. You're one of the main guys, Paul, making Hackintosh. I don't know why it's just you, but it is just you. Every time I search on Google, I see your face pop up. I'm like, here's Paul again. It's like you're following me.
Every time I
do a search, there you are.
I pay them.
Is that the key? Is that what works? Man.
That's right.
All right, well, I'll let you go. Thanks again, Paul. It's been great chatting with you. Talk to you again some other time.
Listen, a pleasure. Airfon.
Airfon, you nailed it. Airfon Elijah. Actually, I'm going to be changing it to Elijah Airfon. So if you ever want to Google me, make sure you do Elijah
I'll do that.
Airfon.
I'll reverse it.